Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Narantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Gopremanande. Okay, so tonight we will continue from verse number 18 in chapter 21, and we'll go through to chapter 22. We'll go into verse number up to verse 15 in chapter 22 also. So we will have the class to cover the entire section on the what's the date? We've got the calendar. Which one's there? Was it the 19th of Monday? Okay. So on that Monday, the 19th, then we'll have the revision of chapter 17 to 24. And then on the following one, which will be the 26th, then we'll have the closed book examination. The 26th closed book and open book will be due on the 19th. So is everyone okay there? So your open book exams will have to be in on the 19th. If they're late, then I can't accept them because I need to mark everything before I go to India. So 19th will be the open book exams, and oral presentations also have to be finished by the 19th. And then on the 26th, then we'll have the closed book examination. Okay. So tonight we'll read from verses 18 onwards. So what is this chapter called? Chapter 21? Dynasty of Bharata. Okay. So the remainder of Canto 9 is more or less a genealogical table of the descendants of the which dynasty are we dealing with? Yeah, Chandra dynasty, Chandra Vamsha. So this is the description of the kings which are coming down from the dynasty, and this is leading to the appearance of Krishna himself. Because Krishna's pastimes will be spoken about in the 10th canto. So this is leading to the description of Krishna's dynasty. So we're also hearing about Krishna's relatives. So tonight we'll hear about some of the Pandavas, like that, Duryodhan, because they're related. The Kuru dynasty, the Yadu dynasty, they were cousins. So we'll hear about the description of how some of them. All those who followed the principles of King Runti Dev were totally favored by his mercy and became pure devotees, attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Thus they all became the best of yogis.
The best yogis or mystic are the devotees, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 6.7. Yoginam Adi Sarvesham Matadeya Japatma Sardavan Tatudeya Yomam Amrita Amorata. For all yogis, he who always abides with great pride, who speak me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The best yogi is he who transcends the things of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of the heart. Because Randideva was the king, the chief executive in the state, all the residents of the state became devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, by the king's transcendental association. This is the influence of a pure devotee. If there is one pure devotee, this association can create hundreds and thousands of pure devotees. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has said that a Vaishnava is meritorious in proportion to the number of devotees he has created. A Vaishnava becomes superior not simply by the declaration of words, but by the number of devotees he has created for the Lord. In the word, Randidevanu Vartina indicates that Randideva's officers, friends, relatives, and subjects all became first class Vaishnavas by this association. In other words, Kantideva is confirmed here to be the first class devotee. O Mahabharata, Mahatseva, Varam Ahur, Mukte. One should render service to such Mahatmas, so then one will automatically achieve the goal of liberation. See, Narottama Dasa Thakura has also said, Sadhiya Vaishnava Seva, Nistara Ayase Seva. One cannot be liberated by his own effort, but if one becomes subordinate to a pure Vaishnava, the door to the liberation is open.
What are the points we have here? Why? Yeah, bhakti is better than mukti. You don't serve devotees just to get mukti. I know it says that, but that's not why we do it. That's not why we do it. If you motivate your bhakti by the desire for mukti, then your bhakti is contaminated. Because Lord Chaitanya has taught us that it must be free from jnana and karma. And desire for mukti is a desire, it's a jnana desire. So even though the Bhagavatam says that, but we shouldn't, that should not be our motivation in our devotional service. Your motivation should be bhakti, or to serve the devotees, to please the devotees. And if you get liberated, that's a byproduct. It is said that Bilba Mangala Thakur, he describes that the dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, moksha means liberation, they will be automatically given to the devotees. They're made servants at the door of bhakti. So you have to keep that unlocked, Brinda. Otherwise, Lila Maya knock on the door in 2 minutes. Just unlock the door. Turn it like that. And then... Any other point? Read too many books, open too many temples, or share too many followers. Except if you're on the path of bhakti, then it's okay. Prabhupada told Jabhataka Swami and Bhavananda Prabhu, he said between two of them, they should have 50,000 disciples. So, you know, that's on the... If it's for the path of bhakti, that's acceptable. If it's like on the jnana path, someone's just reading books to become knowledgeable and getting temples and disciples. But for bhakti, you can do it. You can open unlimited temples. Prabhupada said that. So Prabhupada went back to India. He'd been in America. And when he got back to India, he came to Mayapur, and his godbrothers were criticizing him. Because they were saying different things about Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada, on his way to Mayapur, he said, if they criticize me, then you say to them, how many books did you distribute? How many disciples did you make? And how many temples did you open? If they criticize. So Prabhupada measured success by these things. And Prabhupada said, preaching means there must be results. If you preach and there's no results, then... So you have to make devotees. You have to distribute books. You have to... open temples is the success of the movement. Like we have one temple in Melbourne. And how long has it been now? 40 years. It should be maybe 20 temples already, but we're still getting ourselves together. We're not pure enough yet. But when we're pure, then so many temples will come. Prabhupada once said that if all my disciples become pure devotees, Krishna will give us the whole United States of America in 18 days. He said, because you're not pure devotees, then Krishna is not giving it to you. But if you become pure, then Krishna will give us the whole of Australia. Krishna can give to us in 18 days. But we're not pure, so then Krishna is not giving it. Any other points?
Yeah,
like that. Yeah, the guru is not canvassing himself. He's not desiring disciples.
But if they come, then.
And then some people, some Vaishnavas, they'll take disciples, and others will not. Like Ramai Swami, he won't take disciples. Bhano Swami, he won't take disciples. And then others will. They'll take. So depends on the guru, what he's, or the Vaishnava, what the mood is. So he doesn't look for disciples, but if they come, he may take. But then disciples is basically hard work. They just give you a lot of problems, basically. Every time you come, they just give you all their problems. This happened and that happened. I'm struggling so much. That's why some gurus are not so enthusiastic. Any other points? Yeah, and Prabhupada actually gave the order. Well, actually, the order comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. But then Prabhupada further gives the order that he said all of his followers should become gurus. Well, Chaitanya says that. Yari Deketari Kaha Krishna Upadesha Mara Yaya Guru Hana Tara Idesh. So, on my order, you should all become a guru. It doesn't mean you all become Diksha Guru. But it means everyone should be Shiksha Guru. Every devotee in ISKCON should be Shiksha Guru. It means you should be cultivating someone. Someone. Even if you're only in your family, you're just making your kids, that's enough. That's Guru. According to Lord Chaitanya's standard. But if you can make more, then that's better. And Prabhupada actually wanted, there's a letter. I think it's one of the letters. And Prabhupada says, this is like 68, I think it was. He said, by 1975, I expect all of my disciples to be initiating on their own behalf. So Prabhupada thought within 7 years, then his disciples would begin to initiate. But it was a few years after that they began to initiate. But Prabhupada actually expected that. He said, all of my followers, they will become gurus. So there's actually a natural inclination for devotees to do that. Any other point?
So here it says one cannot be liberated by his own effort.
We'll get to
When it comes to word liberation, that means advancement in nothing, or how do we understand this line?
Because there are five types of liberation. Right, and four are accepted by the Vaishnavas. That's explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the Nectar of Devotion. So it means that liberation will come when you become a pure devotee. Then automatically you get liberated. Liberated means to be free from maya or the influence of the material energy. So that will automatically come by bhakti.
That means liberation
is bhakti. For us it means, it's the same thing. Liberate the four purusharthas, or the four goals of human life, dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, they wait as maidservants at the house of bhakti. So if you're a devotee, you automatically get those four. You get Dharma, the benefits of Dharma. You get Artha, you get Karma, and you get Moksha. So automatically you'll get those things, that extra endeavor. The devotees don't want them separately from Krishna. Any other points?
Importance of association was explained, and it says what's the importance of association in a devotee's life? What association can give to devotee or that you can provide?
What does that mean?
The importance of association
is
explained, and in devotee's life, how important is the association with other devotees? What association can provide to devotee or that you can provide?
Well, association is everything. Because to make advancement, because we're all advancing in Krishna consciousness, you can only advance according to the association you're getting. So Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Lila, in the very beginning, he says that just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you can go back to Godhead. You don't even have to get initiated. But is anyone in this ISKCON, the whole movement, who can do that? Is there anyone who doesn't need initiation? The chanting is so pure they can go back to God. So practically no one. Maybe there's a few. Maybe there's a few devotees, they're just so pure they'll go back to God in India. Okay. But for everyone else, we need initiation. So what does initiation mean? Prabhupada explains, who do you take initiation from? Who do you choose to be Diksha Guru? Because our philosophy clearly states that we can have many Shiksha Gurus. That is, Vandeham, Sri Guru, Sri Yuta, Pada Kamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavams Cha. So Sri Gurun means plural. So there are many Shiksha Gurus. Sometimes this word Shiksha Guru, we use it too loosely. I've explained this before. Sometimes devotees say, oh, this one's my Shiksha Guru, this one's my Shiksha Guru. But then when the devotee says something to you, hey, do this, you don't do it. So you say, oh, he's my Shiksha Guru, he's my Shiksha Guru. But then he gives you an instruction, don't say Shiksha Guru. Say advanced devotee, or say, I'm inspired by this devotee, but don't call him your Shiksha Guru. Because then if he says something, then you have to do it. That's what Guru means. So Shiksha Guru, myself, I could probably, maybe if I really think, maybe five people. If I really think. They're like Shiksha Guru. Means whatever they say, I'll just do it. And many people inspire me. Many advanced devotees inspire me. But, maybe, I have to think actually, maybe two, three, four, five, like that. That would be Shiksha Guru. But then one, Prabhupada explains, one becomes the most prominent out of all the Shiksha Gurus. One you take the most Shiksha from. The most prominent Shiksha Guru becomes the Diksha Guru, generally. So then, the Gurus and your Diksha Guru, you can only advance as much as they are advanced. So you need association to advance. So you have to look for the most advanced association you can find in this one. Like in this temple, you look, who are the most advanced devotees? We associate with everyone, but you look who are the most advanced and you try to get their association. And by their association, they lift you up to their level. And then there's more advanced devotees who travel, like Kanamba Mara is upstairs. So he's advanced. So we get his association. And by his association, he can take us to his level. And then there's higher levels and higher levels. So you have to find. So association is everything, practically speaking. Because you can only get as far. Unless you're so pure by your chanting, you're just go all the way. But most of us are struggling. We're all struggling with material desires and everything. So you need advanced association to lift you up. And then it describes in our Shastra that if you get to the point where you become as advanced as your guru, or even more advanced, you have to beg his blessings to go to a more advanced guru. And if he blesses you, then he'll say, okay, now go over there to this person. He's more advanced. Is that okay? So association is everything. If you don't get it, then you won't advance. So then there's two types of association. What are the two types of association? Vani and Vapu. So which is more important? Vani. Why?
You can get
it every day. Right? My spiritual master is not physically on the earth anymore. And when he was physically on the earth, I only saw him twice a year. 2 to 3 times maximum. So what's more important? Vani. Because every day I can listen to him speak. Every day I can listen to him. But I can only see him. Now I can't see him for a long time. You know, I may not see him now for another 40 years or something. But every day I can be with him through Vani. So Vani is more important than Bapu. So you will advance as much as the Vani you get. So then you have to listen to lectures which will bring you up. So every day you listen. How many hours do you listen every day? Who listens 1 hour every day to lectures? One. So yeah, at least 1 hour. Is anyone listening more than 1 hour? So every day you should be listening. Since I became a devotee, from the very beginning when I joined, every day when I take bath, I brush my teeth, it takes me about 25 minutes from when I walk into the bathroom, you know, brush my teeth, do everything, do ablutions, take bath, like that. Take about 25 minutes like that. So I listen to lectures while I'm doing that. So it's 25 minutes I've already listened before I even go, and then, you know, put on tilak, get dressed like that. It'll take another, you know, 10, 15 minutes. So by the time I start chanting my japa, I've already listened for 30, 40 minutes. I've been doing this for years and years and years. Right? So you're getting sangha, association. So that's how you will advance. Devotees waste a lot of time. You're in the car, so what do? You listen to lectures. Right? You're on the tram, what do? You listen to lectures. You're walking around the house doing the vacuuming, what do? Yeah, so then, mostly, since I became a devotee, mostly I listen to lectures 2 or 3 times, each lecture. So if you're missing some things, then next time around, then you'll... So then, you're getting lots of association, advanced association. You can get the most, you can listen to Prabhupada every day, that's the most advanced association. So there's no limit to how much we can advance. So Vani is more important. Vani is more important, but it means that you should take Bapu as much as you can. Don't think because Vani is more important then you minimize Bapu. Bapu means you should get as much Bapu as you can. Because my guru said to me, he said there's something you cannot replace with Bapu. He said that to me. He said there's something you can't replace. He said you can serve, because he was serving Prabhupada. He got a lot of association with Prabhupada. So he said, you know, I was serving Prabhupada and doing so much service, but he said, you know, you serve so much service, but actually being with Prabhupada, he said something, there was just something about that you could not replace. It purifies the consciousness. So you get association as much as you can. Do you care? Any other point?
Also, as you said, spiritual master Diksha should be bona fide spiritual master. Because then we get the escape of the parampara, the whole different succession. If it is a bona fide spiritual master.
Yeah, don't associate with unbona fide gurus.
That's what I mean.
Don't do it. Do not associate with unbona fide gurus.
No, I'm saying only bona fide
gurus. I know what you're saying. Don't associate with Mayavadis. Do not do it. Do not go to their lectures. Any other points?
That mother is question answer from another way I thought of. Mostly we are treated with the Anuman and Brahman, Jnanman, Vijnanman, and then only Anuman. So unless we get a state of Anuman, we are still with the material, that is the material energy in contact. So,
you have to get it. Elevate your consciousness. Yeah. You have to see, where is your consciousness? No. My consciousness is anamma. Perfect. Where is prasad? Or no? Any other points? So Prabhupada is explaining clearly in his purport that You measure a devotee by their potency. What is the potency of the devotee? What is the devotee achieving in his field of service? So everyone has different fields of service. Some devotees, they are pujari, they worship the deity. So then you see what is the potency in worshipping the deity. What is, how do they worship the deity? And how do they enthuse others to worship the deity? So then when you think of pujaris in ISKCON, then who do you think of as the, you know, as like the most potent pujaris in our movement? Bhakti Mahaprabhu. Most potent in the whole of ISKCON. Janani Vasprabhu. Yeah, Pankajangri. They're the most potent. Everyone knows they are the most powerful. Janani Vasprabhu is extremely powerful for that. So it's so much potency in his deity worship. That anyone who comes in contact also gets enthused and purified to worship the deity, because he's so exalted in his consciousness. Even I've seen him talking to the deities. He walked in front of the altar, he looked up and he started talking, and then he walked out. I don't think he thought anyone was looking, but I saw him do that. So, you know, his consciousness is very exalted. I've seen him. I watch him, study him, the way he worships the deities and his consciousness. And it's extremely exalted consciousness. So by his potency, then so many others are becoming enthused. And then you'll see in book distribution, you have Vaishasika book, different devotees. So extremely potent in book distribution. And by their potency, then they're inspiring so many others to distribute books. And then you see devotees who study the Shastra, like Burujan Prabhu and others. So by their potency, then others become inspired. And they have so much potency in their lectures and their speaking. And then in Kirtan, there are so many powerful Kirtan, Aindra Prabhu, and Kananda Maharaj, and Lokanath Maharaj, and so many. Yeah, so many of that. So you become potent. So we measure a devotee by his potency. How does he affect other devotees? When you associate with a devotee, do you become enthused in their service? Because it says an Uttama Adhikari devotee is one that when you come into his association, you begin to chant. Just by being near him, you begin to chant. I remember I used to be with my spiritual master, and he'd sit in the front seat, I'd sit in the back seat. And as soon as I'm with you, I'd just pick up my beads and just start chanting. Just by the association, the holy name comes from your lips. That shows the potency of the devotee. So ISKCON needs many, many potent devotees. So we should also become potent so that when devotees get our association, they also become enthused to practice bhakti. That is the system. So Prabhupada is saying we measure the devotee according to his level of potency, his advancement, how much he enthuses others. Then you can see who the most advanced devotees are, because they enthuse the other devotees. So then, Prabhupada is pointing out that we need to associate with and serve the advanced devotees. And he quotes that verse from the Bhagavatam, that one will only overcome the association of Sri Sangha. What does Sri Sangha mean? Yeah, attachment to the opposite sex. Right? So for men it means attachment to women, women means attachment to men. So you only come... And what binds us all in this material world? That's basically it. Right? We're all bound by the desire to associate with the opposite sex. That's why we stay in this material world lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So then the Bhagavatam says, how do you overcome that attachment, that desire? You replace that by attachment to pure Vaishnavas. So when you become more attached to a pure Vaishnava than to the opposite sex, that is the door to liberation, the mukti dwara, or the way to get free from maya. So all of us here, we are more attached to a pure devotee than to the opposite sex. It's a fact. But still our bhakti is mishra. Mishra means it is mixed. It is not pure attachment. We're attached to the pure devotee, but we're also attached to the opposite sex. or with the existing simultaneous, there's Mishra Bhakti. There's not pure Bhakti, not Kevala Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti. So we become overcome that attachment to the opposite sex by becoming more attached to the pure. So you have to cultivate that. So Kartik Mas is coming, and it's 3 weeks until Kartik. So Kartik, every year I try to increase my hearing, increase my chanting, increase the, not just the quantity, but the quality, especially of my bhakti, of my devotion. And by doing that, then you can overcome your anattas. That's the main time in my year. If I look at my year of devotional service, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every Ekadashi you should examine your bhakti. Every 2 weeks you should see, how am I doing? So every year, you know, when Kartik comes, I reassess, how did I do in the last 12 months? What can I do better? So then I try to improve the quality of my devotional service and then try to maintain that over the rest of the year. Even though I never do, I never maintain that over the rest of the year. The quality I get to in Kartik, I can't maintain it the whole year. But at least it lifts me up to a point where then I can improve over the year gradually. But we need to continuously lift ourselves up and overcome our anattas, our attachment. So how do you overcome your attachment to the opposite sex? By attachment to the pure devotee. So you have to deepen that attachment. So it floods the heart. So there is no room for anything else. So the attachment to the opposite sex, there's no room for it. Because there's so much attachment to the pure devotee. And that is the quality of prema bhakti, or pure love of Godhead. It is called Sandrananda Visheshatma. What does that mean? Yeah, transcendental happiness. When we literally... so condensed, so concentrated. So it means that it is so thick, right? So condensed, so pure, right? That nothing else can enter into it. It's just, there can't be any material. Material that I cannot enter into, because it's too dense, too condensed, the bhakti. So that's what it has to become like in our heart. We become so attached to Krishna and to Krishna's devotees, nothing else can come in. That's the only way to overcome your material desires. Any points? She's behaving very well. Very good. Very good. It's good when the kids come. When they're quiet. I'm watching them all the time. When they're quiet. But I like it when they come, as long as they're quiet. They're very good, this group. Very good. Pakka. They will take the parents back home, back to Godhead. Huh? Deliver the parents from... Actually, it's a fact. Everyone gets more serious when they have kids. You see all the joy, they become more serious when they have kids. Yeah. Because they have to set the example. That's why it says the mother and the father are the guru. You see, I see all the devotees, when they have kids, they get much more serious. Yeah. That's true. That's true. That's why if there's no kids, then people don't become enthusiastic about that. I've seen so many devotees. They have kids and suddenly they get all really enthusiastic. So the kids is good. Actually, because they're liberating us. We're liberating them, but they're also liberating us. So it's necessary. Okay. Which verse are we on? From Gaga, so now we're going in chapter 21, then we'll go 22, 23, 24, which we'll cover in the next 2-3 weeks. It's very much genealogical. It's really a summary of the dynasty who's coming on. So some people might say, someone said to me today, oh, that's boring. It's not boring. It's only boring because you don't have any taste. If you have taste, then even though you don't even know who these people are and, you know, who they were, or just by the sound vibration is purifying. So if you have taste, it's not boring, it's not monotonous. Same, you got two copies of the same book?
No.
Well, the ninth canto?
The old past tense is different from the book. It's not the ninth canto.
What's it called, the book? Yeah, that would be good. Okay. From Gaga came a son named Shinni, and his son was Gargia. Although Gargia was a Kshatriya, there came from him a generation of Brahmanas. From Mahavira came a son named Duri Takshaya, whose sons were Trayaruni Kavi and Pushkararuni. Although these sons of Duri Takshaya took birth in a dynasty of Kshatriyas, they too attained the position of Brahmanas. Brihatkshatra had a son named Hasti, who established the city of Hastinapur, now New Delhi. Not like it used to be. Not a very pleasant place. It used to be very pleasant. Not very pleasant.
Nowadays there's a lot of dengue going on. Epidemic of dengue in Delhi.
Dengue?
Yeah, dengue fever.
It's a fever, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Serious epidemic.
In Delhi?
In hospitals.
What does it do to you? What does it do?
High fever and platelet count goes down, immunity goes down.
Like a tropical fever.
Yeah.
And what is the cause of that disease?
The mosquito bite.
Mosquito bite. It's coming from all the sewage. It's because the mosquitoes are going in and picking up the bacteria, and then they put that into you.
So
it's actually coming from all the sewage. That's where it's coming from. Because the place is so unclean, and then the mosquitoes breathe, because now it's hot season, rain has come. It's all hot and steamy, and the mosquitoes breathe, and then they take that bacteria and they put it. You're going soon, or? Too dangerous. Is it?
I don't think it's dangerous, but you have to be careful.
Should I go on? Can you give me some shots or something? A shot?
Homeopathy, they give some.
I'm not even worried about it.
You can take some pills.
Let those mosquitoes come. And we'll see. What is the holy dharma? Is the holy dharma. Whatever you get, you'll get. It's already waiting for you before you get there. If you're going to get sick, you're going to get sick. Many times I've got sick in the holy dharma. You get there and then it's already waiting. So just be prepared for it. Sometimes Krishna gives it, sometimes he doesn't give it. It's up to Krishna. Sometimes I just arrive in Vrindavan. I went there, what was it, 2011? No, 2010. I think it was. I got to Vrindavan. I'd only been there a few hours. I went to one temple to chant japa and everything. And then I paid my obeisances outside. And then I took a breath of air in, just not thinking, when you breathe in. But the monkeys had urinated, on the ground. And when I breathed in, I could smell it. It was all the bacteria, like that. And I was bang, sick, like that. And the rest of my time in Vrindavan, I was sick. Up to Krishna. If he wants to give it to you, then you're going to get it. You can't escape. Sometimes you get sick, sometimes you don't. It's just up to Krishna. From King Hasti came three sons named Ajamita, Dvimita, and Purumita. the descendants of Ajamita, headed by Priyameta, all achieved the position of Brahmanas, Jamuna Jiva.
This verse gives evidence confirming the statement of Bhagavad Gita that the orders of society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, are calculated in terms of qualities and activities, Guna Karma Vibhagata. All the descendants of Ajamila, who were the Kshatriya, became Brahmanas. This was certainly because of their qualities and activities. Similarly, sometimes the sons of Brahmanas or Kshatriyas become Vaishyas. Brahmana Vaishya Tam Gata. When a Kshatriya or Brahmana adopts the occupation or duty of a Vaishya, Sri Gorakya Vanityam, he is certainly counted as Vaishya. Or Krishi Gorakya Vanityam. On the other hand, if one is born as a Vaishya, by his activities, he can become a Brahmana. This is confirmed by Narada Muni. The members of the Varnas or social orders, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, must be ascertained by their symptoms, not by birth. Birth is immaterial, quality is essential.
So, what are the points there?
One becomes Brahmana by his quality, not by birth.
Yeah.
By what one becomes a Brahmana of Pandu.
Any other points? So Prabhupada always emphasizes this point because we've said this in previous classes. This is the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya taught us that we do not judge a person based upon his material qualification. No? Because materially, how qualified you are is not important to Krishna. You can say, I am born in a particular family, but Krishna is not attached to or impressed by that. Krishna is impressed by the bhakti. So regardless of one's material situation, if one has bhakti, he's considered. So in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, you see that many of his pastimes were establishing this fact. It's like, who did he make the Namacharya? So Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur was considered to be outcast. He wasn't even in the Hindu society. He was considered to be a convert to the Muslim faith. So he wasn't considered to be high class, untouchable. And Lord Chaitanya considered him to be the best of all the devotees. And Lord Chaitanya personally brought him prasadam every day. He arranged for his prasadam to come, but he personally came to visit him every day. They lived very close. Lord Chaitanya was living in Gambira, if you've been to Puri, and just behind is Siddhapakur, very close. And Lord Chaitanya was coming every day on the way to the beach. You know, Lord Chaitanya would go and take a bath in the ocean every day. So Lord Chaitanya would stop and speak to Haridas Thakur. He would go and see him every day. So he considered him to be the most advanced of all the devotees. That was Lord Chaitanya's teaching.
Oh, Siddhapakula
was created for
Haridas Thakur, right? Because he was sitting and chanting just to protect the weather and the
chanting. Yeah, what did he do? He sat underneath
and he started chanting.
Yeah, but how did the tree manifest? What did he do?
He created. Yeah, he took
the toothpick. The toothpick of Lord Jagannath. You know, Lord Jagannath's toothpick. So he took that, he put that in the ground, and then the tree would manifest. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And then he would chant underneath that tree. So Lord Chaitanya's teaching, so Prabhupada is emphasizing, it does not depend on our material qualification. Bhakti is not dependent on our material. Because Prabhupada spread the movement all over the world, and Prabhupada was criticized, as was Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was heavily criticized in India because he was initiating people who came to the path of devotional service due to their sincerity. But according to their caste, they may not have been very high caste. And then Prabhupada took it one step further. He traveled all around the world and he initiated people from every country in the world. And people would criticize Srila Prabhupada. How can you give bhakti? How can you give the mantra? How can you give diksha, initiation, to people who are not even within the Vedic culture? But that is not our philosophy. So Prabhupada is emphasizing this continuously. So normally, whenever this point comes up, Prabhupada does not go past it. He's always heavily emphasizing. It is by your bhakti that you become qualified. And so also an important point, sometimes devotees become proud. Just like sometimes I hear devotees in ISKCON, sometimes they say, I am Brahmana. And they tell everyone all the time, they are Brahmanas. I was discussing this point with my wife today. But even though I am technically, I'm one of the Shastric teachers in this temple. So technically I'm a Brahmana. Technically. I mean, that's the service I do. I never go around saying to devotees, I'm a Brahmana. Because I'm not even a devotee. So what's the point of saying I'm a Brahmana? I am the Brahmana. But, you know, some devotees in ISKCON, they say it all the time. I am a Brahmana, I am a Brahmana. Like this. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, this is pratishta. And all of us have pratishta. I have pratishta, a lot of pratishta. Pratishta is a desire for recognition. You want to be recognized by everyone. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is the hardest anatta to give up. The desire to want to be recognized by others. And we all have it. I struggle with it a lot. You always want recognition. But sometimes some devotees take it way too far. Placing emphasis on the I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman like that. But that's not the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We should just say, my position is patita. Patita means I am fallen. And if you say you are fallen, then you become the most qualified. Because Lord Chaitanya says, my mercy goes to the most fallen. So if you think you are the most fallen, you will get the most mercy. So actually it's the best position to have. So if devotees say to you, you should introduce yourself as patita, not as brahmana. I am brahmana. So I am patita. That is more than mood of a devotee. And if you analyze our consciousness, if each one of us looks for ourselves, we're very much Mayavad. Some of us are more Mayavadi than devotee. If you look at the way we do, because what does Mayavad mean? Impersonal. And sometimes you look at the way the devotees treat each other, it's very impersonal. You know, it's Mayavad. We say we're devotee, but we act like an impersonalist. You know, we ignore the other devotees, we don't treat them properly, we don't respect them properly, we don't even smile at them. Like one devotee I saw recently, I hadn't seen him for a long, long time, months. I hadn't seen him. And I saw him, he didn't even smile. I just thought, it's like, it hurt me. I actually said to him, I said, you don't smile to me anymore. Like that. So, we should not be impersonal. Actually, it's an aparad. There's six types of aparads towards devotees. One of them is if you're not happy when you see another devotee, then that's a subtle offense, actually. So it's impersonal. So, we're very impersonal the way we deal with others. Even other devotees. Even our family members who are our devotees.
What's that? Not to smile.
Yeah, even though we're devotees, but sometimes the non-devotees are more normal than us. That's true. Yeah, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he's one of the gurus in ISKCON. Prabhupada is a guru. He says, first you become a devotee, then you become a human being. Yeah. We're all really good at being devotee, you know, chanting our rounds and reading Prabhupada's books and doing that. We don't even treat other people very nicely. We don't even treat devotees nicely. We don't even treat the non-devotees very nicely. We think we're better than everyone else. They're all Maya and they're all like that. So a lot of the time the non-devotees are better than us, the way they just deal, more natural. So we have to learn just to be natural. What is the best way to do that?
Humility.
Humility, yeah. Best way is to get married and have kids. Because I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot. It's purification. I'm learning a lot. Every day it's like, oh my God, I make so many mistakes. Like that. I get told every day by my two gurus. They're good devotees, they tell me. I don't get away very much. Every time I try to get away with something, it's just like, straight on to me. Hey. Purification. It's very good. Because it teaches you to be more of a normal person. Because you can be good at being a devotee, and then how do you just deal like a normal person? Yeah. So, you know, we all have a lot to learn from devotional service. From Ajamita came a son named Brihadishu. From Brihadishu came a son named Brihadanu. From Brihadanu, a son named Brihadkaya. From Brihadkaya, a son named Jayadratha. The son of Jayadratha was Vishada. And his son was Shenajit. The son of Shenajit was Ruchi Rashwa. Dridhanu, Kasha, and Vatsa. The son of Ruchi Ashwa was Para. And the son of Para were Prithusen and Nipa. Nipa had 100 sons. King Nipa begot a son named Brahmadatta through the womb of his wife Kritvi, who was the daughter of Shuka, and Brahmadatta, who was a great yogi, begot a son named Vishwaksena through the womb of his wife Saraswati. So if you read the purport, it's explained that the Shukadev is not the Shukadev Goswami, it's the second Shukadev. So if you read the pastime, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, Prabhupada explains also in the purport, that when Shukadev Goswami was born, he came out of the womb. He was in the womb for 12 years. He wouldn't come out. Vyasadeva impregnated the wife. He wouldn't come out. And finally, Krishna said, if you come out, you'll be okay. Maya won't affect you. So he came out, but then he left family life. So he walked off, and then Vyasadeva followed him and said, come back. So then Shukadeva at that time, a second Shukadeva, he like transformed into two personalities. So one left into the forest, and the other one came back and became a Grihastha and had children. So this Shukadeva is the one who came back, was a Grihastha, and the other one went.
Okay.
What?
It's not really difficult because the goal of the Varnashram system is to get out of household life. Why are you a Grihastha? Mm-hmm. You're a Grihastha now, right? But why are you a Grihastha? Because you're meant to become a Varnaprastha. That's the whole point of Grihastha life. You're not supposed to be Grihastha forever. So he was so advanced, he just Paramahamsa. Yeah, he just took sannyas, even beyond sannyas, he just left. But then the father was upset, so he divided himself into another person, said, okay, go back, have some kids, you know, and live with the father and everything like that. But the Bhagavatam is teaching us that's not the goal. The goal is not Grihastha life. The goal is to overcome Grihastha life. That's Vanaprastha. or sannyas if you're a very advanced, like Kadamba Maharaj. He's one of the only people in ISKCON who left Grihastha Ashram and became a sannyasi. One of the only ones. Most of the sannyasis go straight through from brahmachari to sannyas. But he gave it up and Jananda Maharaj, there was some pastime with his ex-wife and then like that. He was brahmachari for a long time, then he became married for a short time, then he took sannyas. Following the instructions of the great sage, Jagisabhya, Vishwaksena compiled an elaborate description of the mystic yoga system. From Vishwaksena, Udaksena was born, and from Udaksena, Balata. All these sons were known as the descendants of Brihadishu. The son of Dwimita was Yavinara, whose son was Kritiman. The son of Kritiman was well known as Satchadriti. From Satchadriti came a son named Dhritanemi, who became the father of Supashwa. From Supashwa came a son named Sumati. From Sumati came Sanatiman. And from Sanatiman came Kriti, who achieved mystic power from Brahma and taught six samhitas of the Pratyasama verses of the Sama Veda. The son of Kriti was Nipa. The son of Nipa, Ugra Yuda. The son of Ugra Yuda, Shemya. The son of Shemya, Subira. And the son of Subira, Ripunjaya. From Ripunjaya came a son named Bahurata. Purumita was sunless. Ajamita had a son named Nila, by his wife known as Nalini. And the son of Nila was Shanti. The son of Shanti was Sushanti. The son of Sushanti was Puruja. The son of Puruja was Arka. From Arka came Bhamyashwa. And from Bhamyashwa came five sons: Mudgala, Yavinara, Brihad, Vishwa, Kampila, and Sanjaya. Bhamyashwa prayed to his sons, "O my sons, please take charge of my five states, for you are quite competent to do so." Thus his five sons were known as Panchalas. From Mudgala came a dynasty of Brahmanas known as Modgalia. Mudgala, the son of Bhamyashwa, had twin children, one male and the other female. The male child was named Dibodasa, and the female child was named Ahalya. From the womb of Ahalya, by the semen of her husband Gautama, came a son named Shatananda. The son of Shatananda was Satchadriti, who was expert in archery. And the son of Satchadriti was Sharadwan. When Sharadwan met Urvashi, he discharged semen, which fell on a clump of shara grass. From his semen were born two all auspicious babies, one male and the other female. While Maharaj Shantanu was on a hunting excursion, he saw the male and female children lying in the forest, and out of compassion he took them home. Consequently, the male child was known as Kripa, and the female child was named Kripi. Kripi later became the wife of Dronacharya. So now we're getting very close to Krishna appearing. This is exciting. Shukadev Goswami said, "O king, the son of Dibodasa was Mitrayu. And from Mitrayu came four sons named Chavana, Sudasa, Sahadeva, and Somaka. Somaka was the father of Jantu. Somaka had 100 sons, of whom the youngest was Prishata. From Prishata was born King Drupada, who was opulent in all supremacy. From Maharaj Drupada came Draupadi, was born. Maharaj Drupada also had many sons, headed by Drishtadyumna. From Drishtadyumna came a son named Drishtaketu. All these personalities are known as descendants of Bharamyashwa, or as the dynasty of Panchala. So we can tell a whole lot of stories about Drupad, Draupadi, and Drishtadyumna. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow night, because we're out of time now. There's many, many stories can be told. Another son of Ajamita was known as Riksha. From Riksha came a son named Samvarana. And from Samvarana, through the womb of his wife, Tapati, the daughter of the sun god named Kuru, the king of Kurukshetra. Kuru had four sons, Parikshi, Sudanu, Janu, and Nishata. From Sudanu, Suhotra was born. And from Suhotra, Chavana. From Chavana, Kriti was born. The son of Kriti was Uparichara Vasu. And among his sons, headed by Brihadrata, were Kushamba, Matsya, Pratyagra, and Shedipa. All the sons of Uparichara Vasu became the rulers of the Chedi state. From Brihadrata, Kushagra was born. From Kushagra, Rishabha. And from Rishabha, Satyahita. The son of Satyahita was Pushpavan. And the son of Pushpavan was Jahu. Through the womb of another wife, Brihadrata, he got two halves of a son. When the mother saw that these two halves, she rejected them. But later a she-demon named Jara playfully joined them and said, "Come to life, come to life." Thus the son named Jarasandha was born. From Jarasandha came a son named Sahadev. From Sahadev, Somapi. And from Somapi, Shuta Shrava. The son of Kuru called Parikshi had no sons, but the son of Kuru called Janu had a son named Surata. From Surata came a son named Vidurata, from whom Savaboma was born. And from Savaboma came Jayasen. From Jayasen, Radhika. And from Radhika, Ayutayu. From Ayutayu came a son named Akrodana. And his son was Devatiti. The son of Devatiti was Riksha. The son of Riksha was Dilipa. The son of Dilipa was Pratipa. The sons of Pratipa were Devapi, Shantanu, and Bahlika. Devapi left the kingdom of his father and went to the forest, and therefore Shantanu became the king. Shantanu, who in his previous birth was known as Mahabisha, had the ability to transform anyone from old age to youth simply by touching that person with his hands. Because the king was able to make everyone happy. Actually, we'll stop there. Yeah, tomorrow night we'll continue. Verse 14. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.